I have to tell you a story. We're dealing with this series on truth on Sunday mornings, and I'm sort of walking in where angels fear to tread because we're going to talk this morning and probably next week about emotions and feelings. Had an interesting experience this week. I went for my annual physical on Friday, which I do every once in a couple of years, whether I need it or not, I guess. But I had to find a new doctor because my doctor moved out of the network that I'm covered with in insurance. And so I went over there and ran through all the tests that you have to do. And then, of course, now they have my chart, so you can go up and you can, you know, see all the results. And I'm sitting in there chatting with him, and he's asking me all the normal questions and health stuff and do you exercise and all that kind of thing. And he says, well, everything looks good. Everything's fine. You look really healthy. My blood pressure came out when the nurse took it to, 130 over 63 or something. And my resting heart rate was 52. So, you know, everything seems good. And then at the end of it, he says, well, there's only one thing. And I said, what's that? And he says, well, for your height, they weigh you in. So I weighed out there with, you know, obviously all your clothes on, 209 pounds. And he says, well, that means your BMI is like 26%. That's a doctor's way of saying you're fat. And I'm going like, I thought you said I was healthy. I was like, I mean, everything looks really good except you're telling me that I'm fat. And he says, well, you know, all this, you know, extra fat and all this kind of stuff adds to heart disease, all this, you know, and if you got down under 200 pounds, you know, 195, I said, yeah, I'd be a scarecrow if I got down that far. But that's, so I went through that whole little interesting emotional process, and it was kind of funny having a doctor tell you that you're fat when you thought you were doing okay. And then Friday night, we had a chance to go to Pulse and to this great thing. We went up to listen to Josh and the worship team up at Substance Church just lead in worship and prayer. So I went from being fat to being spiritually healthy, I think, is kind of where I went. But it was really great. It was very energizing and emotional and just really refreshing to just catch the vision, kind of a next generation vision about reaching lost people and caring about our community and our world that we live in. And, you know, as I began to think about the message I was putting together this morning, I kept thinking, you know, how much we don't talk about emotions and feelings, and yet how integrated it is into everything that we do in life. And so as we begin this morning, I want to try to encourage you to think about the reality of your emotions and your feelings and how that affects life. Now, before I jump into that, I just want you to bow with me for a word of prayer, and then we'll step into the text. You know, Father, life is full of experiences. Whether it's worship and praise or going to the doctor or whether it's going to work, interacting with our neighbors, trying to figure out how life works in our own families. If we really think about it, you have created us in your image, and emotions and feelings are very much part of life. And yet it's also one of the greatest battlegrounds of our life. Father, if we understand the struggles and the circumstances, there's nothing that can bring greater joy or greater pain than the emotions that you've created us with. And yet at times they can feel like the greatest hindrance to what it means to live and to honor you. And so we would ask that you will help us to understand the nature of this and come to an understanding of how it is that we can understand and trust our emotions. And so we ask for your wisdom, your spirit to be our teacher, to just open this up a little bit in our hearts and minds in terms of what it means to be a disciple, a follower of Christ, and to allow our emotions and feelings to be something that's very much part of the journey. And so we ask your wisdom, your spirit, to teach us this morning in Christ's name. Amen. David Slagle is a nurse who works in Georgia, and he was telling a story to some individuals about a couple that had come in to the hospital. They were he'd worked in the operating room and dealt a lot with the paperwork and those kinds of things. And one day, a couple arrived. Both of them had received gunshot wounds. Apparently, what had happened is that on the day that the gentleman, the husband, was starting a new job, he slept in. And you have to hear this one correctly. He slept in because the wife forgot to set the alarm. right? And his frustration got so bad about his wife not setting the alarm that he took a gun and actually shot her. And he happened to hit her in the arm, and so she recoiled, went into the other room, brought out a shotgun, and shot him. And so the ambulance and police brought them in, and he says, as they're sitting in this operating room or in this waiting area, he's handcuffed to one bed, and she's handcuffed to the other, and there's a deputy standing between them. And as he's out there filing the paperwork, he says, I heard something that you could only hear in a soap opera, and that was this. He heard from the guy, I love you, baby, and I'm sorry I shot you. And she responded, hey, baby, I'm sorry I shot you. I love you, too. Now, I don't know what you think of that, but that's kind of like absolute polar opposites in terms of emotions. One minute, people's emotions in marriage feel like killing one another, whether we physically do something to threaten that or not. And then the next minute, we're apologizing because we've been such lug nuts in terms of how we've acted. And yet both of it, that illustration tells me that we are very much driven by our emotions. For guys, sometimes the only legitimate emotion sometimes is anger. Because often we are like frozen icicles when it comes to our emotions, apart from when we get angry. We get frustrated with our wives at times because we think they're nothing but emotion, and it's impossible to keep track and figure out and understand what's going on. And when they make statements to us, we think they're communicating information when they're simply trying to figure out how they feel. And one of the things that we forget in the Christian life is that emotions is part of how God has created us, and they absolutely are an intricate part of our walk with God. As we begin to think about this, we also have some things that match our digital world, and hence this morning we've tried to accommodate that by putting up helium balloons with emoji faces on it. It's to remind you that our focal point this morning is about this whole element of emotions, which we don't talk a lot about, but I think are vital for us to understand. How is it that we learn to trust our emotions? There is actually a court case, and this has come up thanks to my team, Paula specifically, who had mentioned, I found an article over in Israel where a couple was being sued and actually lost because they were trying to arrange a contract arrangement with a person who was renting a house, and they had texted back to them, hey, we think everything's good, it's looking positive, and they put emoji faces like they were happy faces and celebratory icons and those things in there. And so the guy took the house, the rental thing, off the market because he thought they were going to rent from him because they were putting all these happy faces and everything in the text. Then they changed their mind and walked away from the deal. So he went and took them to court and sued them for intent or whatever it was, and he won. And so emojis actually got entered into the court process, and the judge actually took it into consideration in rendering a judgment against them because it communicated intent. Now, so one of the things that's absolutely critical is understanding this sense of emotions and how it fits into our Christian life. Because I know that in most of the circles that I walk in, is that emotions have often been blacklisted. If you talk to Christians, and it's been, depending on what generation you talk to them about, emotions are kind of the evil twin thing of your life that you can't trust. You can trust your rational thought and logic and reasoning, but you can't trust emotions because you can't make emotional decisions. You can't allow that to get involved in the real decisions of life. You got to be objective. And so emotions has really been kicked to the dirt and kicked in the face and cast to the side in terms of being an intricate part and valuable part at times of our own life. You get whole churches that will grow up about the whole idea that they exist only because we're not going to be like those emotional churches out there. And so it actually divides churches at times because these ones are emotional, these other ones are not. And so it becomes a huge problem when we're beginning to think about our Christian walk and our emotions when it comes into it. having said that, the passage I want you to look at this morning with me comes out of Galatians chapter 5. And the reason for that is that I believe this text, like no other text, really addresses this issue of emotions, even if the word emotions isn't used in it. And the reason for that is because it's dealing with a spiritual battle that goes on in our lives, whether directly or indirectly, clearly involves our emotions and feelings, and it can be fantastic or it can be devastating depending on how you understand your emotions and what it looks like. And so as we begin to think through this, I want you to think about this passage, Galatians 5, 16 and 17. I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify, you will not carry out the passions or the desires or the longings of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit or the Holy Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For those are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things that you want to do. Now, this passage assumes he's talking to Christians. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, he says, it was for freedom that Christ set you free. Therefore, stand firm in that freedom. Don't use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but you need to live it in a way to serve others, and the only way to do that is to live by the Spirit of God, to keep in step with Him, literally, as the statement goes. And so what we're discovering here is that there is this huge process that goes on in our life that often we won't acknowledge, and it's a spiritual battle, and our emotions are caught up in this battle. And so as we walk through this, I want to try to point out some things that are important to know. The first thing is that when we talk about flesh and spirit, I want you to think of it as kind of like a way of life or a mode of existence. The flesh, in probably the biggest theological idea, is that our life apart from Christ, the thing that drives it is the flesh. It's we are separated from God. God isn't really an influence in our life in a personal sense or in a familial sense, but our life is driven by what? Our own values, our own emotions, our own desires, our own feelings. That's how we live. The life in the Spirit means that a person has put faith and trust in Jesus Christ because they believe He has died on the cross for their sins, was buried and raised, and that in putting faith in Christ, our sins can be forgiven. I can find a whole new way of life under the influence of the Spirit of God to learn how to live in a way that God created us for, to live a righteous life, to live a godly life, to live a sincere life, to live a life with emotions that are properly aligned to how God has created us. And so as you begin to work through this, we discover that we are in this struggle, this battle that we're trying to figure out. Now, the question obviously is what role does emotions and feelings have in understanding and embracing what is true and right? Now, you might say, this couple that I introduced you to at the beginning of this, our first entrance is, that's really stupid. We sort of respond to it as who in their right mind would do that? Of course, the reason we're not in our right mind is because often we make decisions on an emotional level. Our emotions drive what we do, not always our rational thinking. Now, we'd figure if we just got that straight, we'd have it right. But Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. Our fallenness affects everything. It affects our rational thinking. It affects our logic. It affects our emotions. Everything's affected. Emotions isn't the nasty cousin of the rest of our life that's in order. Emotions are affected by the fall, so is the way we think. And we use those change interchangeably. We talk about, well, this is how I feel. We're actually saying this is how I believe. So we're not going to try to break this down into every nuance. But I want us to think about how emotions tend to drive and drive us in a lot of the decisions and things that we do. So the battle here is to understand that we are, first of all, in this battle. And I want to suggest it, at least in terms of how we think about it, this way. Probably the greatest spiritual battles we will ever face in life are most likely not the external circumstances we face, but the internal turmoil of our inner being, and it will always involve, in whole or in part, our emotions and feelings. When I talk to people all the time, whether it's in crisis, most of the time I'm hearing feelings. This is how I feel about my husband or my wife, or this is how anxious I'm feeling. This is how mad I am at somebody. And the list goes on and on of the number of words that we can talk there. We, in our relativistic society, they don't have a standard of God's word. What's it based on? Well, this is how I feel. What's good for you is good for you, but that's not necessarily good for me. That's how I feel about it. That's what I believe. That's what I think. And so feelings drive a tremendous amount of who we are as individuals. Regardless of how illogical something seems, feelings are powerful. Just ask anybody who's met someone and started dating. Feelings are like overwhelmingly powerful. When Barb and I started dating, I was finishing off my schooling at Briarcrest, and I took a short summer internship afterwards in a town that was probably an hour and a half away from our home in Calgary. And every Sunday night, once I was done, I took Mondays off, so I would hightail it after the evening service and drive an hour and a half to spend half an hour to see Barb before she had to go to bed to get up for work the next day. That's kind of weird. But when our emotions are involved, we'll make all kinds of sacrifices to do the things that our emotions are driving us to do. And so I believe that one of the things that we face is that I think some of the greatest temptations, some of the greatest struggles in life, which probably isn't news to you, is going to be in here. Now, having said that, let me try to walk you through some principles. The first principle that I will suggest to you this morning is that every believer will experience intense emotional struggles in life because there's a spiritual battle going on. That may be self-evident, but I think there's some Christians who think that, hey, if I'm really living a life of faith, nothing should bother me. Never admit weakness, never admit struggle, never admit any emotional turmoil, because if you do, then that means I'm failing in terms of my faith. My response is, you've got to be kidding me. The scriptures make it absolutely clear here that there's a battle between the Spirit of God and the flesh, and that becomes, we've got a new identity in Christ, but because we have that new identity, we still have to deal with this effects and the influence of the world that we live in. And so show me a Christian that doesn't have an emotional, spiritual battle that goes on in their life, and there's a person that either has become so mature that nothing phases them, or they're a person who's out of touch with reality. Now, I read through the Apostle Paul, and I hear all kinds of emotion, care for the churches, anger at people who are preaching a different gospel. There's all kinds of turmoil because emotions, while we might pretend they're neutral, are tied to our value system, and they're not lived in a vacuum. They're connected to life. So if I came and stole your iPad, you might be angry at me or frustrated. Of course, you have to find the right word, because guys don't get angry. We just get annoyed or frustrated, right? That kind of thing. So we always find euphemisms to think that we're not as out of control as we think we are, and we want to manage our emotions so it looks more mature. But there's something about emotions that, while they can be like flags that let us know something's going on, they never operate in a vacuum. They're always tied to what we value. But we will go through emotional struggles in life simply because we are in Christ. And there's this battle that's going on. Now, let me ask you a question. If a person does something when they don't really feel like doing it, are they being a hypocrite? If a person does something when they don't really feel like doing it, are they a hypocrite? Think on that one. Here's the second question. If a person has strong feelings to do something, but he or she does not pursue it, are they not being true to themselves? Okay, hold that thought. Okay. Hold those thoughts. Here's the questions again. If a person does something when he or she doesn't really feel like doing it, are they being a hypocrite? And the second one is, if a person has strong feelings to do something, but he or she does not pursue it, are they not being true to themselves? See, in the Christian life, that's often the struggle we have. How do you deal with what you think are the leadings of the Lord? What do you do with intuition when you're sensing something that's going on? Or if you're really mystical, you don't need a lot of information. You just have a sense that God's doing something. And then the question is, if I don't do it, am I being a hypocrite? If I don't do what I'm really feeling on, like I'm doing, am I not being true to myself? Those are real struggles that we go through all the time. And our emotions are right in the middle of it. Now, the second principle I want to suggest to you is this. The responsibility for a Christian is not to manage or control their emotions as much as it is to submit and follow the Spirit of God. Why do I say that? Well, because the whole text is about keep in step with the Spirit of God. That doesn't mean you leave your emotions over here. You have to take them with you. Okay, that's part of the process. You can't just compartmentalize all this stuff. So the in terms of our emotions, I would say the same thing is true. As we live our life, we try to manage and control them often. You know, if someone ticks us off, we obviously do what seems common sense, and that is we're going to manage that. We're not going to blow up at them, and obviously that's a good thing. But is that what God calls us to do? Well, I think the text really comes out and says, listen, rather than you trying to manage your emotions and keep them in check, the idea here is to keep in step with the Spirit. I think those are different things. Because I believe only the Spirit of God can truly change your emotional constitution by His power, because I think it's way too powerful for you to handle. We can deal with trivial things that bother us, but I don't think that's the goal, is self-management. I think it's Spirit-led surrender. Because only He's the one that can bring healing to emotions that have been damaged. Only He can energize our emotions to be full on for the things that ultimately truly are valuable. And yet, half the time, we're trying to keep them all in check and not show them. I mean, I'm an introvert, right? I love the, you know, we spend our whole time being even keel. It's part of my personality. But I also learned that when I was growing up, I think I've told you this story before, I was so bothered by the fact that I wasn't emotionally as excited about the things of God as I was about like playing a sport that I said, well, that doesn't sound right. So what I did is I would shut down my emotion in terms of cheering for a sport or playing a sport so that it was on par with the lack of emotion that I had for Jesus. Don't laugh. Some of you do exactly the same thing. You just don't want to admit it. Some have the other problem. They're absolutely jazzed about the things of this life and emotionally committed to it, but their love and emotion for Jesus is like, well, we don't want to impose that on anybody, so we're going to apologize for it, not do anything. I mean, our emotions come into this game of life and being a follower of Christ way more than most of us are willing to admit it. And so the heart is, what does it look like? How do we learn to trust this? Are we supposed to really be managing it? Now, we do have a choice because the text says you need to choose to follow the Spirit, to keep in step with Him. So we have a choice about what happens to our emotions and where they go. And this text would tell me they're either going to go the way of the flesh or they're going to go the way of the Spirit. There's no middle ground where you do your own thing. And so as we begin to look through this, I will suggest to you, however, having said that, that emotions are not the final authority on what is true and right. Because if there's actually an option to go way of the flesh or follow the Spirit, that means that what I'm feeling right now about some experience or what someone says to me can either go towards the flesh or it can go towards the Spirit. Now, we can put on happy faces all day long. We put them on our text messages and everything else. But the question that God wants is that He's not concerned on outward appearance. He's concerned about the inward realities of our heart. And for some people, we can be so emotionally damaged and so afraid of what other people are going to say that we just lock down our emotions and they are hidden in a dark cave somewhere down there, never to be revealed to anyone because we feel like we have to apologize for it. We're embarrassed for the way we feel. We don't want to communicate those things. I mean, why do at times are marriages stifling and dead? Because the only emotion that gets fired out around there is anger and frustration because it's not coming together. So here's the way I want to illustrate. I don't know if you see October the 24th. there was a headline that came out in the news about teens in Michigan throwing rocks off an overpass onto cars. There was five teens. They were had rocks anywhere from about 6 pounds to 20 pounds, and they were standing on the overpass launching these at cars that were going by. Now, one of the problems they had as cars were pulling after all these rocks or dropping down on their vehicles is that one rock that they threw went through a windshield, hit the gentleman in the face, and crushed his chest, and he died later in hospital. Now, here's the drama. They felt like this was just doing a prank. They were going to go as five teenage boys, and they ranged from 17 down to, I think, 16 or 15. They said, and you know what's going to go on in their head, let's go have some fun, and let's do this prank, and let's throw stones off on these oncoming cars. Well, it's real funny until you kill somebody. And now these five teens are up for murder charges. Now, most of us would probably go, well, that's just plain stupid. But how do you discern the difference between rational thought and emotionally driven desires? I mean, we can look at that and say stupid, but some of us have done things that we could equally say is just as stupid because we're driven by our emotions. And so as we go through thoughts and feelings that come to us as we interact with people and as we go through experiences, the question is, how do I know that I can trust what I'm feeling is the right thing? What do I do with these emotions? How do I figure it out? Well, I believe the text gives us the answers, and I want to give you the equivalent of these boys throwing rocks off there. I want to give you the spiritual equivalent of throwing rocks as an emotionally driven, this might be fun. We get these feelings that doing something might be great. We might indulge in this. We're going to go this direction because it feels good. It feels like that's what we want to do, but it's the equivalent of throwing spiritual rocks. And I think the text makes it pretty clear. The deeds of the flesh are evident. And here, this whole list of the deeds of the flesh are equivalent to, hey, this feels like it might be a cool idea. This feels like it might be fun. This feels like it might be energizing and refreshing to life. This is a new, thrilling experience. Let's try this stuff, but it's the equivalent of throwing rocks on people. Deeds of the flesh are evident, which is immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and stuff like that, he says. So when I get feelings that want me to push me in a direction, how do I figure out whether I'm throwing stones off an overpass and I'm doing the same thing spiritually? Well, if you look at the direction where that emotion is trying to drive you and one of these pop up, then you've got to hit the brakes. You might go, well, this is just going to be fun. It's just going to be, we're just going to do it to have fun. And then our brain checks out and then we'll agree with it. And the question, how do I know whether what I'm feeling, what I want to do is really going to be helpful rather than throwing rocks on people? Well, here's part of the list that says, is it going to create enmity? Is it going to create jealousy? What kind of damage does this emotional drive you're going to do create? So the question is, if our emotions are driving us at all in that direction, to me, it seems stupid to be throwing rocks onto a freeway. It seems kind of stupid to be pursuing these kinds of spiritual rocks that will destroy your own life and destroy others. But most people said, well, I've done all this stuff. There's no big deal. It doesn't hurt anyone. Well, if you're not a Christian, that's perfectly legitimate because they don't have Christ and godliness and righteousness to live by. People in the world live by their emotions. So there's nothing wrong with them going out and doing any of these things in their mind. They don't have anything to battle. So, by the way, one of the things that probably is one of the greatest evidences that you're a genuine Christian is that you have a spiritual struggle like this. If you have no inclination and struggle about watching stuff on TV or getting drunk or whatever, it really raises the flag. Is the Spirit of God really indwelling your life? And so the question is, how do we learn to trust our emotions? If it's confusing, how do we figure it out? Well, here's one way, because I think throwing spiritual rocks off of the overpass on other people's lives isn't healthy. But here's the other side of it. How do we know if our feelings are right and trustworthy? I've told this story before, but I got it from Preaching God's Word, where a scuba diver told a story one time going really deep. He was an expert scuba diver and went really deep, and he was down into some caverns and swimming around, but it got so dark you literally couldn't see this hand in front of you, and he didn't have a light for some reason. And he says, at that moment, when you're getting into that moment, there's this emotional panic that sets in because all of a sudden you don't know where you're at and which way you need to go. And there's something about, it's like being claustrophobic. All of a sudden, you know you're somewhere, you know you have to keep going. At some point, you'll run out of air, but you got to do something, but you don't know which way to swim. And he says, as I thought about that, I found the solution. And the person he was talking to says, how did you figure out which way to go? He says, all you have to do is feel where the bubbles are going. Because the bubbles always go to the surface. So all he had to do is put his hands up around him, and he had to figure out which way the bubbles were going. And even if it felt like he was going sideways, he'd follow the bubbles, because the bubbles will always go to the surface. Right? So what are the spiritual bubbles that will help us understand how we can trust our emotions, that they're in line with what God wants? Well, I think the text gives it to us. The spiritual bubbles that, as it were, that will help us be aligned to know that we can trust our emotions is the fruit of the Spirit. See, there's lots of times we experience things. It's like, you know, I had a gal that I've told the story of is that when you meet somebody and fall in love. Now, our culture would say, well, there's certain things you have permission to do in terms of living a life, and go and do it, because if you really love one another, but that sometimes smacks up against the deeds of the flesh. And the way you evaluate whether it's true love, at least as far as what God talks about, is does your love want you to go to this direction, or is it willing to submit to what the Spirit of God wants us to do? So there's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. And so I'm saying, when emotions are kicking in and you're not quite sure which direction to swim, follow the bubbles. Follow the spiritual bubbles that will always keep us going towards Christ. Because sometimes we can put on a happy face and we can have different emotions going on, but we don't know how to process it. I mean, I have these discussions with my wife all the time. She'll say things that I think are cognitive, logical directions that she's going to do. And she goes, no, I'm just trying to tell you how I feel. And I go, okay, that doesn't make any sense to me. Well, because I process it differently. And then when she says things, then my emotions kick in because I want to fix things and do whatever. And what I have to do is, instead of reacting back, I need to say, well, wait a minute, what are the spiritual bubbles that the Spirit of God wants me to respond with? And then I'll know that I'm right, regardless of what my feelings might be tempting me to do. I mean, it might sound fairly elementary, but it's absolutely critical. And so as we begin to think about it, that becomes the challenge. And I believe that some of the greatest spiritual victories you and I will ever experience in life are not necessarily external triumphs. Conquering the world, leading global ministries, whatever. I think a lot of the greatest victories we have is when we choose and embrace Christ, not only with our mind, not only with our logic, but with our emotions, so that we align it with the kind of things that's going to bring the greatest glory to God. One of the things I loved about Friday night going to Substance is that a lot of young people there, and very emotional. They got their hands up and some of them are jumping around. It's fun to see. You know, the best I can do is kind of like the pelican flip thing here, you know. That's because I've got, you know, emotional glitches all over the place that thinks, well, if I do that, isn't somebody think I'm just being emotional? Well, man, it's for Jesus. I guess that's okay. So it's easy for us to be stifled. We have our own personality. We don't have to do what everyone else is doing. But I believe that when God saves us, he wants us to put all of our heart, all of our emotions, to be enthusiastically passionate for Christ. And some of us have to really learn that. Because if someone came up to you and said, you know, I need to know about Jesus, you'd be kind of like, yeah, that's cool. Like, yeah, I'm real excited, you know, kind of my Joe Maurer imitation, you know. Yeah, I'm really, really, really excited about Jesus. I've said it before, but we get more excited over our sports and our hobbies than sometimes we get over Jesus. Some of you as grandparents will show way more emotion when you're picking up your grandchild than you often do when it comes to expressing your love for Jesus. Some of us will get way more excited about a golf game, I can pick on that because that's my thing, and about being able to share this magnificent news enthusiastically with people that don't know Jesus. Let me finish by saying this. I ask you a question at the front end. If a person does something when they don't really feel like doing it, are they a hypocrite? I think it depends on who you're being loyal to. See, if your feelings and emotions want to drag you towards deeds of the flesh, and that's what you feel like doing, if you don't do it, you're only being a hypocrite to the flesh. You're being loyal to Christ. Does that make sense? But the other question is if a person has strong feelings to do something, but he does not pursue it, he or she does not pursue it, are they not being true to themselves? I think the better answer is that the Christian is more concerned about being true to Christ. Now, we have a new creation in Ephesians 4:25 that says, the new self is created in righteousness and holiness of truth. So in that sense, being true to ourselves means that we will always put righteousness, holiness, and truth, God's truth, before my preferences, before my emotions. So in that sense, you can say that that's okay. But when Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, he says the love of Christ controls us. So that we who live no longer live for ourselves, but for him who died and rose on our behalf. When we align our emotions with the Spirit of God and the person of Christ, we ought to be the most enthusiastic people in the entire planet. Because we have something worth living for. And yet half the time, it's kind of like it's just an extra little thing on the shelf that we manage throughout the week. And when the Scripture talks about love and joy and peace, that shouldn't silence us. It ought to energize us. And so the question this morning is, are you aligning your whole life with the Spirit of God? Because sometimes we like to compartmentalize. God, I'll study the Bible. I want to intellectually know all the right answers and all the theology, but you can't have my emotions. Because people might think I'm just being emotional. Some people think I'm being quirky. Some people might look at me and go, what kind of medicine did they take this morning? And I don't know about you, but I feel like there's a lot to learn about genuinely being enthusiastic for Jesus Christ and putting not only our whole heart and life and mind and soul, but every ounce of emotion and passion that God has given to us for his sake and his glory without apology. Father, sometimes the hardest truth is the truth that gets into the deepest recesses of our soul. And sometimes we we want to be the caretakers of this Christian life. We want to manage what it looks like and how committed we are and what it means to follow Jesus and how much emotion we're going to let seep out. We're all different. It's all going to look differently. We understand those elements. But I pray, Father, that you would give us a new lease on life, because your Son said that you came to give us life and give it abundantly. And for some of us, we've struggled so much with this internal battle about who we are and our identity and failures and hurt that we've never allowed the Spirit of God to heal the wounds in our emotions so that we could be fully free to celebrate the life of Christ. Father, some of us grew up in environments where the idea of emotions was just taboo. And I pray that we will learn to surrender our life in this walk with the Spirit of God so that there is an authentic enthusiasm for you that manifests this genuine relationship with Christ. Father, it's one thing for us to put an emoji on a text message. It's different when people can see the reality in our own life. Teach us to be those kinds of people. In Christ's name, amen.